Hello, and welcome to Coffee to Close, where we talk to interesting people with passions and pursuits in and around Brisbane, California, that beautiful yet rowdy, fiercely independent town on the border of San Francisco. Our hope is that you will be inspired and that in the process, we will raise some money for our local nonprofits. Sit back and enjoy. I'm your host, Ron Davis.
I have Nancy Coleman here. Nancy has started Brisbane Village Helping Hands, and so we just want to take a little time to talk about that and maybe learn about Nancy a little bit. And so, Nancy, why don't you tell us about yourself and where you're from, maybe where you grew up and how you landed in Brisbane and what caused you to want to get involved with a community like this?
Well, I grew up in New York, near New York City, and then I lived in Portland, Oregon for a little while, and in 1973, I moved to the Bay Area. Lived in San Francisco, lived in Oakland. And then I landed in Brisbane in 1980 by accident. We just happened to know someone who lived here.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to move out of the city. We didn't want to have to cross a bridge to go to work. We just came here one day and went to the Midtown, and there was a little sign saying house for rent. It was 10 degrees warmer here than it was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
We went to see the landlord of the house who was... And from where he was, we could see the fog rolling into the city, and it was sunny and gorgeous here, and we just loved it. And we just said, okay, we rented this house, and we never left.
Yeah, good.
So 37 years later, I never thought we'd stay this long, but we never couldn't really think of any place else we wanted to go.
Great. What was it like moving from the city, coming to this little small town? What was the thing you weren't expecting?
I think we really liked being closer to nature. We liked that it was a small town. It took some getting used to because we were used to being quite anonymous and everybody knows each other here.
Yeah.
And we were newcomers, but anyway, we loved it. I had a stepson then who was young. He was 13 or 14 months, and then we had kids, and we really loved raising the kids here. It was amazing as compared to San Francisco that the kids basically were able to be in the streets, feel safe, know
mm-hmm.
their neighbors, go from house to house to play, walk to school. And it also is a place where you can really make a difference if you want to get involved in things. So we were involved in the schools when the kids went there through the 8th grade. So I think it being a close-knit community where people can make a difference and know each other and care about each other is something that we really were drawn to.
That's good. I think I see a lot of people come for the same reason. It's funny, I grew up in the city in the 60s. We could run around in the city. And
mm-hmm.
I always felt like after moving to Brisbane, because we moved here in the early 80s,
mm-hmm.
that Brisbane was a lot like the city was in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like 20 years behind of the city. So tell us about Brisbane Village Helping Hands. What's the story behind that? How did you come across and decide to get involved with and do that?
Well, in around 2009, I was trying to figure out the chronology. I read some stuff about the village movement, which was just starting then. There was a village that started, and I should say that villages are basically organizations that are, their purpose is to help people be able to age in their home, be able to age in place, I call it, or age in community, be able to stay in their homes as long as possible by using community volunteers to help with things that people can't do anymore as they get older.
Uh-huh.
And the first village I read about was called the Beacon Hill Village in Boston. And I was talking to Moira Lucas, who I'm sure you remember,
uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. long-time Brisbane resident who passed away a few years back. And she and I started talking about how Brisbane is such a natural place to do a village, because it is a village.
Uh-huh.
People do that kind of naturally for each other, helping neighbors, but this would be a way of, you know, being able to include everybody in this.
Uh-huh.
That it wasn't just like, oh, if you know somebody who can help you, you know, and asking for help is very hard. And in a way, this gives people a mechanism for being able, they pay some minimal amount of dues in our case, and then they are entitled to ask for help. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's not like asking someone for a favor in the same way as asking, you know, just day-to-day life asking someone. So anyway, we started talking about how could we do something like this in Brisbane, and we did some reading. Then, unfortunately, Moira got sick and eventually passed away, and the idea kind of just faded for a while. And then In 2013, I read an article in the Chronicle about a village that was started in Berkeley called the Ashby Village, and I thought it just rekindled my interest in doing this. And so I went to talk to Wendy Ricks, who was working at City Hall then.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I know she did a lot of work with seniors, she did a lot of work with hospice, and I thought, oh, I just run this idea by her. And she thought it was a great idea. And Wendy is one of these people who, when you say, I'd like to do something, she says, okay, well, let's set up a meeting, let's do a date, you know. And I was saying, whoa, wait a minute, you know. But she kind of moved it forward because that's the way she is.
Yeah.
You know, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And so we set a date for a meeting, we did some advertising, and about 50 people showed up at this meeting.
Great.
And there was a lot of community interest. And I just explained kind of the concept of a village, and people responded in various ways. And so from that came a group of people who are going to investigate actually doing this in Brisbane. And that went on, and then we had another meeting. I guess that was in June of 2013. And then in February of 2014, we had another community meeting where we gave some presentations about models that we'd come up with. And out of that came really what's turned into the current board of Brisbane Village Helping Hands. And we just, what we decided that we needed to do, and the hardest thing was really trying to figure out what would fit in Brisbane, because as I said, we were already like a village.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the, quote, villages that exist in other parts of the country, and there are over 100 of them now, a lot of them charge a lot of dues. They have administrations, they have employees. It's kind of a big
mm-hmm.
organization. And they, so they charge, you know, I've heard between $100 and $900 a year for dues. And we didn't want to create anything that would exclude people here.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to keep the dues really low, and we have the dues are $20 a year.
So are you part of a bigger organization, or is this just Brisbane?
Well, this is just Brisbane. And I can also explain the way the organization works. There's a lot to talk about. But we went through a lot of questioning about that. At first we thought, well, we didn't want to have to set up our own nonprofit. Okay, so it's Sherry Goodwin, CC Herman, Elaine Porter, Cindy Rudolph, Karen Latham, and myself.
Uh-huh.
And now Jim Skeels, who was the recreation director, Parks and Recreation Director in the city of Brisbane, and is now retired, was one of the original board members. But the other two original board members were Wendy Ricks, who I mentioned earlier, and she was acting as the city liaison to our organization, and Jane Kinsler, who was involved with the village from the beginning. And Jane had a background in social services and working with older people, and she had a very loving and open heart. And unfortunately, she passed away in the fall of 2015 before the village became operational. But her contribution to the village was really invaluable, both of them. This group of people worked over the course of a couple of years to really set up a structure that we thought would work. And at first we thought, well, we didn't want to become our own nonprofit. We didn't want to have to get insurance. We didn't want
mm-hmm.
to have to do all these formalities. We didn't really have the personnel, and we didn't have money. And so we did a lot of investigation. We thought maybe we could come under the wing of the Alliance, but that didn't work because the rules of their international didn't allow for it.
Mm-hmm.
For a while there was a movement to start a countywide village. And we were part of that investigation, and that didn't work out. It didn't happen. So finally, we decided, okay, we're just going to do it. We're going to take the plunge. We're going to become our own nonprofit. And it ended up not being as hard as I thought it would be. There are easy forms because we are so small. There are very uncomplicated forms for doing applications, and it ended up being a pretty fast process. And we also went to the City of Brisbane and the Lions Club for support. And we've gotten it from both those organizations. Once we got our nonprofit status in order, we've gotten enough financial support from the city and the Lions Club so that we can afford to pay for our liability insurance, and we can, and our very minimal operating expenses. Because we are totally on a volunteer organization.
Mm-hmm.
The six of us on the board completely run the organization day to day with occasional help from other volunteers. And I should say, we have now 43 volunteers.
Great.
We have 41 members. And I should say that members are people who pay the dues. If they all they have to do is be 55, a resident of Brisbane, and pay $20 a year dues. And we'll waive that if people really can't pay that. And they're entitled to ask for request services of our volunteers. And they're mostly in the areas of transportation, help with, we'd call it help at home, like minor home repair and maintenance, help with technology, and also companionship visits, friendly visits, we call it. And sometimes people have done other things. One person did a sewing job for somebody. So it's not totally confined to those four things, but that's the bulk of it. And we also have found this wonderful program we've been using, which is called Ride Scheduler, which is an online, a cloud-based database scheduling program that enables us to run this whole thing from our computers at home. And we also have a dedicated phone line with the City of Brisbane so that people can call and leave messages, because a lot of the older residents don't use a computer, and we want them to be able to access the services, and so they can call, leave a message. If they have email, they can email us. If they, you know, so they call and they request or email, request a service. We put it out through this program, and volunteers receive that, and they can either ignore it or they can accept it, and then they get reminders through the program, and that's basically the way it works. I mean, it kind of, you know, we oversee our email, our phone line, and this program, and that's how we're able to run it without really having an office, without having any staff, paid staff. So anyway, that's kind of the way it works, but it took, I'd say, about a year and a half to get to the place once we decided that we wanted to have this format, you know, to find this program, to learn how to run it, to figure out what all the mechanisms were going to be. And so finally it was the fall of 2015, we had our first, here actually at Madhouse, we had our first volunteer sign-up event. And out of that came our first core group of volunteers, and then we gradually got some more volunteers, and then by March of 2016, we decided we were ready to kick our organization off and start becoming operational and accepting members and taking requests, and so that's what happened.
Great.
And we've been growing, you know, we started off, I can't remember exactly how many members and volunteers we started off with, but it's been growing pretty steadily. And now we have provided over 100 services since March 2016.
Great. So my office, the agents in my office and myself, we have a couple of times gone down to San Mateo and through the Board of Realtors, work with an organization down there to go and do kind of a similar kind of thing. But what we ended up helping with at that time was just, I guess they made requests to like older people to like flip their mattress over and to check and replace their batteries and their smoke detectors. And that might be a good thing to add like on a regular basis to get to just to make sure that their smoke detectors, carbon monoxide too, because I can't tell you how many people don't have carbon monoxide detectors in their house.
Yeah, I mean, those are good ideas. At this point, we will do those things for people if they request it. We don't really have the resources right now to offer regular services to people. I would say we're doing it basically one service at a request at a time. And we never really know because we're not asking our volunteers to commit any particular amount of time. I mean, that's, we're basically saying to people, you know, please sign up. You can do as much as you can. You know, you're not under any obligation. So it's difficult to imagine offering a regular kind of service, but it's something that could easily develop. I mean,
yeah, maybe we
really
could work together on that and do that together as a project to, because I know it's just so important, the smoke detectors and the carbon monoxide detectors are. Some of these old houses have such old heaters, and they're putting out, and the flue might be jammed up, and you don't know it when you get carbon monoxide. You don't know.
No,
all you do is get sick. You
feel
like you have a cold all the time. So
yeah.
Anyway.
No, well, it's a good idea. I mean, there are a lot of needs out there.
Yeah.
You know, one of the challenges running this organization has been for us to figure out what we can and what we're unable to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we always want to do more than we can do, but we have to keep it sustainable.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's really one of the big challenges, you know, we're constantly in conversation with each other about what it is that we can take on and what we can't.
So I got a story
of
a similar kind of, it makes me think of the Helping Hands in my neighborhood when I was a kid, and it kind of went like this. I was probably 16, 17, and there was an older lady, late 70s, early 80s, she went out and she bought a Triumph convertible car, and she put it in her garage, and she didn't drive. So she bought a Triumph convertible, And then she came and got me, and she brought me to her house, and she showed me the Triumph convertible, and she said, listen, I bought this car, and I want you to drive me to go get groceries, and then you can use that car to go out on a date.
Pretty good deal.
So it was a deal. And then I ended up working on the car and getting it running really good, and drove her around to the store, and then I took off on the car and the convertible on a sunny day with her. It was pretty funny. That was our version
of
it.
Yeah.
So anyway, is there anything you can say that would be like maybe a request of the public or any kind of things to look out for in the future with your group? Or
I would just say that we really can always use more volunteers. Right now, we have almost as many members who can request services as we do volunteers. And most of the requests are for transportation to the doctor, to go grocery shopping, to do errands. And we're getting more and more requests now as our membership grows. So we really could use more volunteers. To become a volunteer, for drivers, you have to be 21 and a Brisbane resident.
Mm-hmm.
For other, if you're not going to drive, and there are plenty else to do. We also really need people who can do home repair and maintenance and tech, help with tech. You can be 18 and a Brisbane resident.
Yeah.
And you do have to undergo a criminal background check, and for drivers, a DMV background check as well. We need to be able to give that assurance to our members. So if you are inclined, as I said, there's no obligation to devote any particular number of hours, but it's a really nice thing to do in the community. I mean, there are people in the community that I also do volunteer services in addition to being an administrator of the organization. And I've gotten to know people I never would have gotten to know.
Yeah.
I've met, interesting people, and you get a chance to talk to them, and they get to know. It's one of the purposes of villages also is a lot of older people, they get isolated. They end up staying in their homes a lot, and they don't see people that much. And one of the purposes is to really help with that isolation, really help people have more contacts with the community,
mm-hmm.
stay involved in the community. And another way we do that is by having social events. The pattern that's developed is we've been having two social events a year, which are basically just, late afternoon get-togethers where members can meet volunteers and people can meet other members, other volunteers. Interested community members can come. It's kind of potluck. People bring baked goods or drinks, and we all just have a chance to talk, and we can give people a little update on what's going on with the organization. I believe the next one's going to be on September 9th. I haven't gotten a final confirmation from the city about that, but we'll be putting out information about that.
You have a phone number to call? What's the phone number? Email?
It's 415-508-2185 is the phone number, and the email address is brisbanevillagehelpinghands@gmail.com. It's just one word, Brisbane Village Helping Hands, all lowercase. And if you want more information, you can get in touch with us by phone or by email. You can go to our website, which is www.brisbanevillage.org. And you can also get the sign-up forms for becoming a volunteer and or a member. And by the way, you can be both a member and a volunteer. You can get those forms on the website. There's a join us on the menu at the top of the initial opening page. There's a join us. You can click on that and get forms for joining as a member and or as a volunteer. And you can also read more about us, our history and who we are. And if you have any interest in what we're doing, please let us know. Give us a call, write us an email, and we'll get back to you. And hopefully you can become a part of this adventure that we started.
Great. That's wonderful. And you may know or not know that I've done this as kind of a fundraiser, and I'm donating $100 per episode to our local charity. So I'll be making this episode, this donation, to you guys.
That's great.
And if anybody out there wants to match the $100 that I'm donating, where can they send it?
They can send it to Brisbane Village Helping Hands, P.O. Box 734, Brisbane, California, 94005. So,
great.
Yeah, and donations are definitely appreciated, and we really thank you for this opportunity and for the donation, and also for your support in the past. And you let us use Madhouse for events, and that's great.
Well, I hope we can continue the relationship, and I thank you for coming in, and this has been great. So,
thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Coffee to Close. Coffee to Close is a fundraiser for our local nonprofits and charities in Brisbane. And I will be donating $100 per episode to one of the charities or nonprofits in town. Coffee to Close is also sponsored by Davis & Company Real Estate. You can find us at rondavis.com and Madhouse Coffee, which is madhousecoffee.com. Both are located in Uptown Brisbane at the top of the main business district on Visitation Avenue at 400 Visitation. Come pay us a visit. We'd love to see you.